The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory.
Open Bible Dialogue. Oh, what a joy to bring you this broadcast every Saturday. And now, not just a broadcast, a telecast. Our subject today, it's really a breathtaking subject. I really want you to enjoy every ounce of it. I really do. I really believe it will affect your life. But we're going to talk about the world is about to tremble. You can't look at the Middle East. You can't look at what the radical Islamists are doing. You can't look up at Ukraine and Russia. You really can't look almost at anything today without knowing the time is certainly very close at hand. Let me get my volume up here a little bit. I want to make sure you hear me. And I don't want to talk too brazen. Ah, I tell you what. And I don't want to talk too fast, but that's not an easy one for me. I love bringing you this telecast, this broadcast. I really do. I love talking about this Bible. This holy book, his word is forever settled in heaven. Our chef and our chairman of our men's fellowship breakfast said this morning, after the breakfast, he said the Bible is the most important thing in God's kingdom. Well, you know that's right. The Bible says that he has exalted his word above his name. The Bible is one breathtaking book. It is infallible. It is authoritative. It is supernatural. It is perfect, and it is wonderful, and it will change your life. Now, the world is about to tremble. There is no ifs and ands about that. And that's a mild statement when I say to you, the world is about to tremble. There's so much we could talk about as we deal with that. One miscalculation in the Middle East could send that whole area into an absolute slaughter. I mean, one miscalculation could send the Middle East into nothing but bedlam and slaughter. And that is coming. The war of Gog and Magog makes that plain. I'm going to spend some time maybe tomorrow night talking about Ezekiel 38 and 39 and preaching a little about just where we are. We are really at a time of biblical prophecy, of end time prophecy, right at the verge of the coming of the Lord. Then look at Russia. Russia has become belligerent and aggressive. We don't know which way they're going. We do know they're going to lead that war of Gog and Magog against Israel. So we know they've got to be what they are, and they've got to become worse. I mean, their design is already very clear. They want to control the whole Middle East. They want every bit of the oil produced there. They want to control the world. Well, you don't only have the Russians who want to control the world. You've got the Islamists, the radical Islamists, the ISIS, I believe is the new acronym, ISIS. I mean, I'm amazed at the belligerence right now. They see all the difficulty, the weakness of President Obama. They see all the problems going on, and it's just to them an opportune time to set up their Islamic kingdom. One world Islamic kingdom. They intend to set that up. Do you hear me? They really do. Well, all of these things point us to the hour in which we are living, the fulfillment of prophecy. Now get your Bible. I'm going to take you to the book of Matthew 24. I want to read a verse or two. Before I do that, I want to tell you that I'll do my best exact. It'll be a little give or take. But at the middle of the hour, that is 1:30 here. It may be 12:30 where you are. Maybe 10:30. May even be 9:30 if you're out in California. Wherever you are, different parts of the world, if you're listening live, of course, if you're listening in the archives, the time won't make any difference. Except the middle of this program, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Paul Creek Church. I'm going to share a couple of things with you of some of the pain I have gone through, of some of the trouble I've gone through. Now, I do this because I read in the Bible where Paul did this, where Jesus even talked about some of the difficulty, how he talked about tribulation. I get calls from pastors all over the world, really all over the world, from many countries that are at their wits' end because of the difficulty and the onslaught of evil and the wickedness around them and the reaction of religious people. Religious people are more dangerous than the devil, to be real honest with you. Religious people are really dangerous, and the world is full of them, literally full of them. The churches are full of religious people that have no discernment. They don't know what's going on. They don't discern what they're doing. And that's why Jesus often would pray, and of course others in the Bible would pray, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. I was just reading today where Apostle Paul said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That's 2 Timothy 4:16. I mean, he said all men forsook him. I've never been there. I don't want to be there. I've got some men here who are such wonderful men. They are outstanding, and they're listening to me right now, hopefully, and they are just outstanding men. Thank you, fellas. Thank you. God bless you, godly men. God bless you, godly men. I do appreciate you. But I want to talk about some men that haven't been so godly through the years, and I'm going to tell you no names. But I'm going to tell you just some little things. It won't take me but a little bit, but I think I need to do it. And I'm going to give you today the CD of this broadcast, because I want you to be able to re-listen. I want you to send it to some of the people that you may think need to hear it. And you may be in this area, and you may know some of these people who are enemies to Joe Chambers. I mean, they are enemies par. I mean, they're really out there. And they really mean my destruction. They really do. But they can't until they get past the angels and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And hopefully some of you who will begin to pray with me and believe God with me for a sovereign move of His Holy Spirit. Now, to talk about this world about to tremble. Now, next week, I'll go back to dealing with these false prophets, these antichrists. I'm going to do a whole list of the fraternity of antichrist among the ministry of today's world. A fraternity of the antichrist, men and women, in the ministry of our present day. They are overwhelmed. I can hardly believe what I read at times that these men say. It blows my mind. Let me start with something. And before I go to the scripture, Matthew 24 now. Get your Bible ready. Matthew 24, I want to read this. This came yesterday on the internet. Invite Andy Stanley, that's Charles Stanley's son, to your group. Invite Andy Stanley to your group. Now listen, no matter what you believe, no matter how you behave, Jesus invites you to follow Him. No matter how you live and what you believe, Jesus invites you to follow Him. Jesus doesn't expect people to be perfect. He just wants them to follow Him. Being a sinner or unbeliever doesn't disqualify anyone being a sinner, unbeliever, doesn't disqualify anyone. In fact, following almost always begins with a sinner and unbelievers taking one small step. Now, in 8 sessions in this Bible study series, he journeys with people on following Jesus, whatever they believe, however they live. It doesn't matter. That's what he says. I mean, that's right off of, I presume this is his website, Church Source. Invite Andy Stanley to your group. Watch him. First session, there's a little of it you can watch here. I tried a little, but I couldn't handle it, to be real honest with you. It infuriates you when you see known men leave the confines of Holy Scripture. Let me read to you. Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now notice that. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. But all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, these are the prelude to the real sorrow. And we're already in the prelude, believe me. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Brother, sometimes I think I'm the center of their hatred. I know I do have to face some dark spirits and some dark feelings and some dark action. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Did you know this church is fulfilling that last verse from Jesus right there on this internet, on this webcasting, on the broadcasting, on what we're doing with DVDs and CDs and what we're doing to get this gospel to the world? I mean, I'm amazed at how God is helping us. I'm amazed at the equipment we've got and the capacity we've got and what we are doing. And we're just one. And God's got servants around this globe that love him, believe me. And this gospel of this kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We're doing something right now so the end can come, so Jesus can return, so the rapture can occur, and so the 7-year tribulation period can begin, and the world can be judged, the wickedness can be judged. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, I'm telling you, we are living in this day of the fulfillment of these scriptures. Look at Russia. Look at the shooting down of that passenger plane, nearly 300 lives lost. It was vicious. There's no doubt about it. It was an effort to embarrass the Ukrainians, I presume, that backfired on Russia. I can't answer all of that, but I know one thing. There is something happening on the world scene that tells me we are on the brink. We're on the brink of such disaster and such heartbreak and such trial, until the Bible says it will be so terrible that the hearts of men will fail them for fear, for looking at those things that are coming on the earth. Did you know the media in America is hiding from you about 98% of the danger facing America? Because they know it would play against the Democrats running for their special election in November. Did you know that? The media isn't telling you the story. The media isn't telling you but a little bit of it. I am amazed at how many people are dying. Look at what's happening in Iraq right now, and how the radical Islams are saying, get out or pay a tax or die, whatever you choose. And they're running for their life. They know the tax will be intolerable. They know they really don't have any choice but to get out of these territories being overrun. And, of course, the ISIS, that's this Arab group, they're threatening the president. They're threatening America. In fact, I just read where a very noted man in security said the greatest threat to America right now is ISIS. The greatest threat to America right now is this new Arab group that are taking over Iraq. They've taken over Syria, apparently. I don't know where all they've taken over. I can't spend enough time in the news to keep up with all of it. I'm in the book. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming. And all of these religious things, I really want to zero here a moment. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. The Jesus that people like Andy Stanley are preaching are not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus that the Rick Warrens are preaching are not the Jesus of the Bible. You got to help me now start this whole list of these false prophets, these antichrists. Now, I don't mean they are the antichrist. They are in the culture of the antichrist. Notice that. They are in the culture. Don't misunderstand me and don't mistake me. That's very important to me. I want the truth to get out there. And I want to stir people all over this world to get in your Bible. I took a book of Revelation last night to one of my neighbors. I'm trying to give every one of my neighbors a copy of my book, The Masterpiece, on the book of Revelation. You must order yourself a copy. You really must. It's so very imperative. And the woman looked at me and said, but it's so hard to read. I said, no, if you'll take my book here and read it slowly and carefully, God has helped me to put the book of Revelation in my book so easily understood that anybody out there with a good, 10th grade education, maybe 8th grade even, probably 6th, could understand my book and then understand the book of Revelation and then know how close we are to the coming of the Lord. It's at the door. Now, let me tell you what I'm giving you, a CD of this broadcast. I'm going to read a prophecy to you that was given at this church. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the struggle we are having. I'm going to identify, not people, but some of the problems that have come against us. Because we are facing what churches all over the world are facing, and especially with what I do. I mean, just those videos on the false anointing. I really unveil the whole Catholic mysticism of the charismatic movement. Now, there's good people in there that really love the Lord. But as a whole, the charismatic movement is nothing but Catholic mysticism. And they're going right now. They're going right now. The very leaders, from Benny Hinn right on through the crowd, they're going right to the Vatican and saying, we want to be part of you, Papa. Mr. Pope. We want to be part of you. Come on, folks. Come on. Anything that would take a believer of this Bible into Catholicism is deception of the ultimate. Deception of the ultimate. I don't mind saying that, because they say that about me. Oh, they give us fundamentalists a hard time. Catholics don't like fundamentalists, and they say it. And why should I not? I like them. I just don't believe in what they believe. See, they hate me, but I like them. I just don't believe in the doctrines of Catholicism. They're dangerous. They'll damn you to hell. They will not save not one soul who lives within the very theology of Catholicism will not be saved. Did you hear me? They will not be saved. If they don't come to Christ, go past all that theology, get on your knees, open the book of John, and meet Jesus. Meet the Jesus of the Bible, and he'll save you, and he'll change your life, and he'll bring you out of confusion. He'll bring you out of, when you really get Jesus in your heart, he'll show you the way. He'll take you right to the wonderful truths of God in Christ. I'll tell you again, at the middle of the hour, about the 30-minute period, the middle of the hour, I'm going to take you into our sanctuary. I got the lights on where you can look in there, and I'm going to share a little bit about this great church. I mean, we're not big, but boy, the things we're doing are breathtaking. And I don't know why anybody would want to destroy us, but there are plenty out there all around this community who really, really would like to destroy me. And I'm sorry for that. And I'm not crying poor mouth either. I'm just telling you, because I want a whole company of godly people praying for this ministry and standing with me for the truth of this Bible. That's all I want. I want the Bible to get to every one of you. With all of my heart, I want the Bible to get to every one of you. That Bible is a wonderful book. Oh, I forgot again. I do it every time. I forget to remove that banner across there. I am so sorry for that. Forgive me, okay? 18 minutes of it. You're tired of seeing it, aren't you? I'm sorry. I'm trying to get somebody who can fix it so when I go on automatically, that is removed. But I hadn't got around to that, and I'll get there. I promise you. I promise you. Now, hey, that thing changed. Oh, no, I've got the right. I'm in the sanctuary. How about that? When did I go there? I didn't know I went to the sanctuary. Well, I'm back. I thought, and that was just a new camera that was carrying you into the sanctuary, and I didn't know that happened. I don't know what I did, but you know how it is. I'm still learning. Oh, this has been a trip for me. I got to tell you about this. This is a website, TIKKUN. I think this is a Jewish man thinking anew about God. Thinking anew about God. And this is religious. He says, thinking anew about God. Our summer 2014 edition, thinking anew about God. And the whole idea here is to introduce you to many ways that you can know God. Many ways you can know God. A progressive Hindu approach to God. A Buddhist God. Hey, let me get some others here that I passed up accidentally. I want you to hear these. What takes the place of what God used to be called? Or what takes the place of what used to be called God? What takes the place of what used to be called God? God and goddess emerging. The empty throne. Realigning God as creative energy. Realigning God as creative energy. Two feminist view of goddess and God. I hadn't read that one. That's going to be a trip. A beaked and feathered God. Rediscovering Christian animism. God in animals. God in animals. Well, this is amazing. This really is. And I don't mind you having a copy of this as long as you wouldn't take it serious, would you? You know, there's so many people out there that have no discernment today. I declare, if I don't get afraid to send people anything that's dark and full of the devil, lest they don't discern it. Because we are living in that kind of hour. It really is a dark hour. It's almost unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable. Now, I want to talk a little bit about these things on my mind today. We're talking about the world is about to tremble. The world is about to tremble. Now, if you look at religion, then you look at politics, then you look at the economies of the world, and you look at the radical Islamist, and you look at all these different things, how can you doubt that our world is about to tremble? Now, I'm going to open the lines for you. We got nearly 10 minutes before we go to the special thing. And so you call or you email. Okay, the phone number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then, of course, our toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800, notice now, 1-800-338-7884. And then, of course, the first number, the local number, 704-391-0588. Now, let me see here. Do we have any emails? JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. And while I'm going to this, and you are calling, grab your phone now. Grab your phone now. This is very important that I hear from you. You are important to me. Why do the nations want to destroy Israel? Listen to that question. Why do the nations want to destroy Israel? Did you know that question is impossible? Unless you understand they're the chosen of God and the cultures of the world have gone into the cultures of the Antichrist. And so the thinking of the whole world almost has become Antichrist, anti-anything that relates to Jesus. They don't hate Israel no more than they hate me, believe you. They hate Bible-believing Christians, and they hate Israel. And why do they hate Israel? Because Israel is absolutely the chosen of God, and the future is all. The future belongs to Israel and the church. The future belongs to Israel and the church. And if you were not part of the church of Israel, would you not hate both of us? Of course, because the future belongs to us, and you're going to be out in the cold. No, you're going to be out in the hot. Sorry about that. That was a mistake. Because the world is going to be judged, and the wicked are going to be sent into hell. Can you imagine that? Other than the hatred of the Jews and the religious significance of Jerusalem, why do they want to take over that land? There is no oil. Please explain. Well, some say there is a lot of oil, but let's say there is no oil. They want that land. Well, they want that land because Jerusalem has a ring to it that the whole world either wants it destroyed or they want to possess it. It bespeaks of the Bible. Did you know that Jerusalem is named in the Bible 800 and some times? And that's not the synonyms for Jerusalem, which there are many of them. That's just the word Jerusalem, 800 and some times. Jerusalem is a Bible name. Jerusalem is a Bible center. Did you know that in Jerusalem, if you look toward the east, languages from the east will read from right to left, and you look toward the west, and languages in the west will read from left to right. Jerusalem is the center of the earth. Jerusalem is the center of God's earth. It really is. And I mean, say what you want to say, but God's hand there makes the world tremble. It makes them all bothered and disturbed, and they want it because those people are wealthy. They have built an iron dome over that whole country just about to where those missiles can't get through. In most cases, some do. I presume they allow them if they're headed for an area where there's no population. I would imagine they do because they're very capable people. And you got to understand, they're just a little tiny bunch of people there in the midst of this huge, huge geographical area and multitudes, millions and millions. And they're just a small group. What is it, 3 or 4 million? That actually live in Israel. Don't remember the exact count. I see it every once in a while, and if I don't see it, I forget it. But I'm telling you, it's hated one reason: God, Jehovah God, the Holy Bible. There's no other reason. The Old Testament, the Jews, the New Testament, the Christians, and really both testaments for all of us, if you go to the truth of it. I'm here to tell you that's why they hate us, and I want to, and them. I want to hear from you now. I do want your questions. It's my joy to answer every question. When the Lord says, "I never knew you," to those who are expecting to enter into heaven but could not, how can we know him? Well, that's the born-again experience. That's the living in Christ experience. That's a good question, by the way. You know, how do we know him? How do we know that we know him? Because you know that you know him. I get people wanting to talk about religion, but they don't know anything about Jesus. There's no living presence of Christ in their life. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes in and you turn your life over to him, and then daily you have communion with him and you read his Bible until the Holy Spirit moves upon you, his Spirit beareth witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. There's a witness of the Holy Ghost in the human heart. If you don't have it, you don't have him. And when you have him, you have that witness. And it makes the Bible come alive. It makes everything spiritual come. It gives you great discernment. You wouldn't be, the multitude out there wouldn't be so ignorant of what is actually happening if they had Jesus in their heart. Because he is the center of discernment. He is the center of discernment. It is absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Now, grab your phone. I really do want to hear from you. Here's a commentator that had something to say. Of all the trouble facing the world, commentator Charles Krakenhammer. How do I say that? I don't know how. On Fox News said the worst one will be when Iran gets the nuclear bomb. Iran is just playing for time and collecting money from us in the meantime. What do you think? I think Iran is one of the key leaders of the war of Gog and Magog. I think they probably have to be allowed to get the bomb because they've got to be part of this marching army of of Gog and Magog, and I would not vote to let them get the bomb. And I think we ought to stop them, but I think that stopping them is probably going to be impossible because they march with Russia. They are the second name. Persia is the name. The second named after Gog and Magog to march on Israel. And God will take care of it. I said, God will take care of it. Now, I want you to keep calling. Remember my gift today. My gift today is a CD of this program. Now, you're fixing to hear me talk about Paul Creek. I think you'll want a copy of that. I really do. Let me go to the lines here. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, well, hallelujah, Pastor Chambers.
Hey, my friend.
This is Chuck Colbin, Stuart, Florida. You're coming loud and clear in Stuart, Florida.
Oh, boy, I'm delighted, my brother.
Look, you know what? We're in the middle of something big right now. And I was hoping that maybe you could just touch upon, for all the listeners worldwide, about 144,000 and the two witnesses.
The 144,000, they'll be saved after the rapture.
Yep, amen.
And after the rapture, they are probably Orthodox Jews right now who are living decent, clean lives, but they don't know Christ. And once they see those empty graves all over Israel, they will know that that was Jesus, the real Lord, who did come for his church. And they'll come to Christ and become wonderful followers of the Lord Jesus, and then they'll be sealed, and then they'll be raptured in Revelation 14. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Caught up in Revelation 14. Now, the two witnesses are a bit different. They are prophets. They'll preach to the world. Nobody can kill them until finally the Antichrist is allowed to kill them in Jerusalem. And then in 3 days, they'll be resurrected and will ascend up, and they'll be caught up to heaven.
We're in glorious right now, my friend.
Huh? Say that again.
I said we are in glorious times right now.
We are the most blessed people that ever lived. I mean, nobody's ever lived in a period of time more exciting than you and I. Now, it's a tough time. If you don't have a backbone like a saw log, you can't make it today.
Nope, cannot.
Thank you, brother.
Yep.
I love you in the Lord, and may the joy of the Lord be yours, okay? Now, you keep calling. The ladies will take care of you and send you this CD of this program. This program. Oh, you need this program. And now, let me take you. I want to take you to the sanctuary, okay? I love going to the sanctuary occasionally. I haven't done it lately, but here we are. You can see me. Well, I didn't have it at the right place, and so it didn't go to the sanctuary. Oh, boy, am I learning. Now, you see inside the sanctuary. Oh, that's a beautiful place in there. It really is. I want to read you a prophecy. The Bible says, despise not prophesying. Did you know that Bible said that? That's 1 Thessalonians 5:20. And I want to read this to you. This was given at our camp meeting by a man of God, a real, genuine man of God. Nobody doubted it. A lot of people from the surrounding four counties have got their eyes on Paul Creek. People have been watching like buzzards for over 20 years. And in their heart of hearts, they hoped you'd fail. They hoped you'd fail. And it's been a constant thorn in their side when God would use you. But I was praying last night, and God told me. He said, daybreak at Paul Creek. Daybreak at Paul Creek. Daybreak at Paul Creek. And Satan is worn out upon your bulwarks. Satan is worn out upon your bulwarks. I like that. He could not get you in Sister Chambers. You are what charismatics call hardwired. Can't be changed. Hardwired. I like that. Can't be changed. So they begin to attack your family. Brother Chambers, I feel the Holy Ghost. And now I want the Holy Ghost to come by and say, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? That's you, Brother Chambers. That's yours. And nobody else's. Daybreak at Paul Creek. The pleasure of Pentecost praying is confidence, boldness, assurance, certainty, absolute, sovereign, cannot fail. Now, just sharing with you a prophecy given for our church and given for myself. I don't deserve a thing except, you know, God saved me by grace. I'm still just saved by grace. I'm still saved by grace. I live in the mercy of God. I wouldn't dare trust anything but the mercy. And in that sanctuary behind me, God is really real. The pulpit is the center. We preach the word of God. And I want to tell you. He said in that 20 years, that goes back to a preacher that was on my staff 20 years ago, a little bit over. And he turned against me when we was in the court case and the Church of God was taking our $4 million campus. He turned against me, even told our attorney that I was praying, that I was paying. We were paying big money. Told him he didn't want us to win. He didn't think we should. And so we didn't. We finally gave up, had some appeals, but we gave up. And for 20 years, this man has continued to hate me. He will not speak. Let me tell you what happened some time ago. A man got saved in our pulpit, really got saved, brought his wife, whom he was separated from. She got saved. And then another man who's still tied to that man 20 years ago that hates me so badly, will not even speak to me. He took him to hear him and to meet him and to promote him to him. And he came back totally changed. And he never did rise above it. Slowly, he disintegrated. I don't know where he's going to church now, but he finally left us. And literally him and two others, I'm telling you, have been meeting for weeks. And all three of those who've been meeting one by one, they've left. And this very week, that one of those men called another one of my men, trying to get him in his church Sunday. Go home and eat dinner with me, to go to church with me. Well, when you face those kind of things, after a while, you really get tired of them. Do you understand? You really do get tired of them. Now, I'm here to tell you, listen to me. You are very important to me. And listen to me. We are living in a dark, dark day. It is unreal what is taking place all over our globe. And our church is under attack, I'm telling you. I could tell you one story after the other of attacks that have come against us. I mean, they're really. And you know, mainly every one of them have been led by a preacher, by a minister, or a so-called minister. The one from 8 years ago that just split our church apart was double married, wanted me to ordain him, and I refused. And so he led a barrage and had demons coming in the windows and everything else, the building full of evil, and just to turn against me. And he was able to tear our church apart. And we've never really recovered from it totally. We come a little bit back and up and back, and that's been going on 8.5 years. But now daybreak has come, and I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it with all of my heart. We've had new people now for several weeks. We are looking for more and more. And I want to say to all of you, I don't want to go any further, because I really don't want to. I'm not here because I'm scared. I'm really not. I've never felt such assurance that God's going to do something great for us. We need a pianist right now, and I believe God's going to give us one. I'm looking for one by in the morning. I actually am. I am believing God with all my heart. And I'm not prophesying now. I'm just telling you, God's going to take care of us. And we're going to see great progress, because that latter rain is on the way. And we want to be in the middle of it. And the beauty of it all is nobody can touch our lives. Nobody can touch my life. I've never touched another woman in my life but my sweetheart wife of 59 years. We live clean lives. I don't preach anything but what's in this book. Our services are beautiful and ordered. We don't go into some kind of emotional tantrum. We believe in the Word. We love a shout as much as anybody loves a shout. We love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what we really love. We love the gift of prophecy. We love all the gifts of the Spirit, divine healing. We just want to see God's hand like we've never seen it before. And so I want you to become a prayer warrior with me. I need 1,000. I mean, when we mail the beautiful article that goes with this program today, when we email it, it will go to 31,600 people, 31,000 all over the world. I get calls from these countries. I get emails from these countries. We have probably 100 in Pakistan who are spreading the very message. I got an email from one recently. He said, I'm preaching everything you preach on the internet. I'm preaching it all over Pakistan. And I just emailed him back and said, go for it, brother. Don't use my name. Don't tell them where you get it. That'll only make the radical Islamist hate them, so I don't want them to endanger themselves. They want me to come, but I'm not sure I should go. I'm doing it from here. Why should I go there to do it? I want to be right here for you. Everybody all over the world, I want to be right here for you. This church is a dynamic church. Our school, yeah, our Christian school, K-2 all the way to 12th grade. We are fixing to enter our 42nd year. I counted today, and we've probably had between 3,000 and 4,000 children children attend our school in 42 years. We've graduated hundreds. We see them everywhere we go. Just that ministry is dynamic. The Home for Children in Haiti, two of them, we just raised on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, 4,500. We've had over 50,000 go out of here in a year. Listen to me. This church loves Christ, and we belong to this Bible, and we need you helping us survive the crises of this dark hour in which the whole world is facing. I'm not telling you ours is worse than anybody else's. I'm just telling you we're facing the enemy, and we need you on our side. And I need you as partners financially. Our budget is almost $500,000 a year. That's all, a half a million, right at a half a million. We really need it to be somewhere like seven to really get all these debts paid. We only owe a little over $150,000 on a $3 million campus. So God's been mighty good to us. We've come a long ways. Do you remember a $4 million campus was taken from us by a denominational church in the Pentecostal realm of 20 years ago, and we had to start from scratch. And I was already nearly 60 years old, but God has helped us. My son and I, with our good members, have built this beautiful place. I'm telling you, God has been good to us. And you are on the air. Well, you are on the air, ladies. Where is that? Let's see if we got it. You on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Hey, you are on the air. May I help you, please? All right. Somehow they are gone. Give me again. Help me, ladies. Jesus is coming, folks. Jesus is coming. Sometimes people call, and while they're waiting on me, they move on. So call back, sir, lady, whoever it was. I really do want to answer your questions. Now, the things I said about Paul Creek, I want you to pray for us. How many will commit you? So raise your hand. I can't see you, but God can. Raise your hand all over the world. When you hear this by archive later today, tonight, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever, you start praying for us and send me an email, jrc@paulcreek.org. I want every person listening by the internet. Now, if you're listening by radio, you're first important. I was with you on radio for over 40 years now, so you're at the top of my list, folks. If you're listening by radio, you're at the top of my list, and the people around Charlotte, man, are you at the top of my list. Often I've been told this is the most listened to program in the Charlotte area. I think you're right. I think we really are. We have a multitude that hear us. Some, you know, are bothered by us. Some don't believe everything I believe. That's okay. I'm still your friend. I'm still your friend. And if you know Jesus, if you've been born again, if you're living by Christ, then you're my brother and sister. Do you hear that? Regardless of your connection, if you've been born again and you live in a Christian life and you know the Lord Jesus, you're my friend and you're my brother and you're my sister. Grab your phone now. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, I really want to give you the CD of this program. I want you to have that prophecy that I read. That was a prophecy that I read. I want you to have it. I promise you, everybody who gets this will get a copy of that prophecy in a written form. It was in a flyer. We sent about 400 people connected to church and school. We'll send you a copy of that flyer, okay? We'll send you a copy of that along with a CD of today's program so that you can hear that prophecy. I want you to share it with somebody. Do you believe in prophecies? Remember, the Bible said, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. All right, you on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers.
Yes, my friend.
Could I address your public, please?
Can you what?
Can I address those that hear you?
Yes, you can address me.
Well, I just want to address all your listeners. I just wanted to say that that you speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Brother George, that's you from California.
Yes, and I just want to encourage the listeners to not use their intelligence to try to figure out the word, but to use as much humility as in their heart and to listen to your messages, because they're the truth. And I have been reading the Bible for 17 years, and I don't even come close to the understanding that you have. And so, especially Catholics, please, if you're listening,
Yes.
This is the truth that you're hearing, and you need to just put it in your heart and not use your intelligence. And so
you got to accept the Bible just like it is, and regardless of what you've learned in some higher education, if you don't accept the Bible, you're rejecting the eternal Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love you, George.
All right. Thank you so much.
I wish I had 1,000 people. Are you going to be praying with me now in this tough time?
Yes.
I've really had a lot of enemies now, 8.5 years, and I'm praying that they'll repent. I told our church last Sunday, if anybody that's ever been here and they left and they've been mean and hateful and said ugly things, and they walk in those doors, you forgive them before they get here and treat them like they never left, because we love everybody.
Okay.
I love you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, and thank you for calling. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884. And the local number, 704-391-0588. Now, listen, I want to give you a CD. You hear that? I want to give you a CD of this broadcast. I want to give you a CD of this broadcast. So don't just sit there. Call me. Call these ladies and make sure they get you on the list. Okay? And whatever your question is, if you have a question about what I said a while ago about Paul Creek and the people who've hated me, the preachers who've turned against me, those who've tried to destroy me, I want you to understand it's biblical for me to explain this to you. Let me get my notes here, because I want you to understand I'm not being foolish. I'm telling you, listen to what Paul said. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. See, Alexander did Paul much evil. Did you know in the Bible they named people that were trying to destroy the church? They named them for one reason: to protect other people, to keep people from hanging around with those crowd of people who are vicious and devilish and will destroy. Those three men I spoke about, all of them are gone now. Well, that always happens when people flock together or run together. If one in the crowd is ugly and mean, it will eventually affect all of them, and they'll all be off and have no place to go eventually, because this world is a mess. And the church world is so full of people who all they have is religion. They don't know the Lord. And so they have no discernment. Now grab your phone. We've got lines. There's 4 lines here. So there's 3 open right now. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I want you, if you know somebody that's been bitter, even if it's some other preacher, even in some other city, if it's in California, send them a copy of this. And let them see what's happening in the church world. And let them get a burden. If a church is doing the Lord's business and you don't like the way they do it, at least leave them alone. Don't go out trying to destroy the minister. Don't go to call in all the people and try to get them to leave that preacher and that church. Don't try to tear it apart. You don't know what you're doing. I told a man yesterday, that man's not fighting against me. He's fighting against the Holy Ghost. When I read a prophecy like this, all I'm saying is, you better keep your hands off of this church. You better keep your hands off of what God's doing. You better back up. You better repent. That's what you really must do, because we're living in the very last hour. And I just believe it's time for the sovereign move. Would you believe with me? Let's pray. Father, by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, I turn this church and every Bible-believing church across America and around this world, I turn them over to you. Those great preachers from Africa, different countries of Africa, that great pastor in Poland, those wonderful people in Pakistan, those people in the Ukraine, those people in many countries of the world. Father, I pray for every pastor, every godly worker, every lady missionary, every gentleman of strength and power. Use them, Father, in this late hour. Anoint them with a special anointing, and let the touch of God be upon us in a mighty manner, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, George. That's a wonderful brother out in California. He's not a Pentecostal, I don't think. But you see, when you hear the Word of God and it comes straight and plain and simple, you got to believe it. And then when you read what these preachers are saying, I'm going to deal with Rick Warren. That's probably on the agenda for next week. But Rick Warren's doctrine, the Bibles he reads from and preaches from, they're not Bibles. They're nothing but, well, at the best you could call them a paraphrase, but really at the worst they're nothing but a commentary. Somebody's commentary of the Bible. You know, brother, who said it? Brother, he said it. Brother, say it all. You know, I'm here to tell you, we better get back to that book. That holy and blessed book. It is eternal. It'll change your life. All right, grab a phone. 1-800-338-7884. Emails. Let's see where I'm at here. Habakkuk, what is the vision the prophet is writing about? Well, what is the vision the prophet is writing about? That's a pretty big question here for a man that needs to go read it. I'm not sure I can read enough to give you an interpretation of this vision, but let's go to Habakkuk. I'll be there in a minute here. You know, I'm one of those that loves this old book. I am a man of the Bible, but I don't, you know, I don't have a photographic memory. I just had to have ordinary memory. 2 and 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Oh, that's the vision of the end time. See, Habakkuk and all of those prophets saw a little bit of it. They literally, every one of them saw a little bit of it. I think one is where I'm supposed to be. You on the air, may I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, friend? Are you there?
Yes.
Well, speak up, sir, quickly. Go ahead now. Sir, go ahead, please.
You hear me?
You got to turn your radio down, sir, and just listen to me. Okay, my dear friend? Go ahead now. I have to move on. Sir, please go ahead.
I'm trying to speak, sir.
Well, I'm waiting for you.
Yes, sir.
Sir, are you going to speak or not? Well, I guess I scared him to death. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. Am I so belligerent? I didn't mean that word. That's not it. Am I so strong? Am I so loud that I scared him? Oh, I hope he'll call back. I mean, I guess he couldn't remember what he was going to say, and I have that same problem. So, sir, you really don't have to feel bad about it. I'm going to be honest with you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Wanted to respond to all those pastors that hated on you and just give you a hard time, you know, for people like me who are just searching through the radio, and I have to turn my radio down because I can't listen to my same voice at the same time. It's kind of weird. But you provide a purpose. You know, my life is about purpose. I try to search for my purpose all day long. That's what I pray about, and I try to pray 2 or 3 times a day. Sometimes even 5 or 6 times a day, because I just pray.
Well, now, have you been asking the Holy Spirit to show you your purpose? You're not going to find it without the help of the Spirit of God. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then His Spirit bears witness of His calling to our life. So can I pray for God to show you exactly what He wants from you?
Absolutely.
Father, I don't know this, dear gentleman, but he has a yearning to be yours. I can hear that. And I pray for a miracle. Father, so work in his life and so witness of the Holy Spirit to him. Let him get in this Bible and live in it until he knows exactly what you've got for him. I claim that, Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Praise the Lord. Now you go read the book of John first. Get on your knees. Read the whole book of John on your knees and do it slowly. It may take you 2 or 3 weeks to read it through, and then go turn around, go back, do it again, and ask the Lord to make himself real to you, and I promise you he will.
Yes, sir.
Will you do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. I love you, my friend.
I love you, man. Hey, I want to make a message to all your listeners out there that black, white, doesn't matter what color you are, what denomination you're from, whether you believe or not believe, you know, you just cut so many lives, and Jesus, no matter what he was, when you see his face, no one knows exactly what he looks like. They feel him, and they have faith that they are Christians, and he touches everybody, not just one person, one people.
Everybody. He touches everybody. Thank you, brother, for adding a little to the sermon, okay? You on the air. May I help you, please?
How you doing, sir?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, man, I love service with you.
Do you enjoy this program?
No, sir, I have not.
Do you enjoy this program?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Do you want me to stay on the air until I get 90? That's 12 more years. That's my goal. If Jesus tarries, I want to do 12 more years, and then it'll be time for me to hang it up.
Yes, sir.
So will you pray for me?
Yes, sir, I will.
Now, what's your question?
Yes, sir. I just want to address something to you, sir.
You want to do what now?
I said I wanted to address something to you, sir.
All right. Well, you need to go ahead quickly, okay? I only have a few more minutes.
Yes, sir. Just keep on a prayer of the lost on today's all, Father.
Would you say that again? I could not understand it.
I said, sir, just remember the lost.
Remember the lost. Now, you won't believe how many times a week I get on my face in this sanctuary. Well, usually not on my face. I sit down on the floor, any way I can be comfortable, and I pray for unsaved people. That is one of the burdens of my heart.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for calling. And I tell everybody, you must be a soul winner. You must be a soul winner. You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, that was not the right one. Let me see here. Hold it. You on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, I guess they are not there either. Now, ladies, help me. You on the air. I'm here to help you, sir. Lady, can you go ahead quickly? Well, you know, I don't understand. I try hard to reach everybody and to get them on the air. This new phone is giving us a fit, but it doesn't really bother us during the week. So we're trying our best. We want you on the air. I want everybody that calls on the air. I love your questions. By the way, there's some questions here I need to get to. Like you, my dear pastor, I love God's holy word. Could you read 1 Peter 4:12-14, a word for you from our awesome God? Love you, and Ms. Chambers will continue to stand in prayer in Christ. Sherry, God bless your heart. You always a blessing, Sherry. I can't keep up with where everybody lives, so I don't remember where Sherry lives. But I can tell you this, she's always blessing us, and she shares the burden. Listen, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, I'm trying hard. Rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That is, by the way, in 1 Peter chapter 4, 12, 13, 14. Rejoice when you're being tried. Well, I really am. I think I'm bringing you this. I've never done it through the years. I've hardly ever mentioned any problem I was having. I've just stayed with the word, and I just felt like you needed to hear it. You needed to hear it. You needed to hear it. So that's why I'm making sure you hear it. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother James, somebody earlier was wanting to know why these countries want to invade Israel. 40 years ago, I read that one of the biggest reasons, and it's not all, is that the Dead Sea, one of the largest potash known, you know, in the world.
It is a wealth of wealth. It really is.
So who knows? It may be more about food than it'll be.
I think there's a lot of oil there too, my friend.
Well, I've heard that.
Yeah, I really believe there is. The Bible indicates that. And I think that's known. I think maybe Israel is not even exploring it right now, because it would only make her enemies hate her more.
That's true.
You know, I'm overwhelmed at how much they can be hated. And it's really so beautiful, because it all fulfills exactly what the Bible said would happen. I love you.
Okay.
You on the air. May I help you, please?
That's Brother James.
Yes.
I heard it be that what's happening now in Israel is Psalm 83 war, in which Israel is so successful that it sets up the war of Mog and Magog, in which Russia comes down against unwalled villages.
Yep, they're coming, and it won't be long. I love you, my friend. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, I've been watching. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Wonderful.
Hey, I just wanted to make sure you did. I've been watching this thing for a long time about Israel, and, you know, the Antichrist, you know, supposed to deceive them people for about 3.5 years, and then they're going to wake up all of them fire. All of and found out they've been deceived, but I'm watching that time, so that lets us know that somewhere along the way, close to where somebody of the Antichrist is suddenly appear, and he'll sign a peace treaty for about 3.5 years, and that's what I'm watching for right now.
Yes, we all are watching for that. It could be any minute. It could be any day. But you know, their leaders are very smart. And they didn't have any choice but to do what they've done in Gaza. I'm telling you, this Hamas group, and I understand our government is giving them a ton of money. I'm amazed at all of it. But you know, it's all part of prophecy, and the Bible is being perfectly fulfilled. And the next thing I'm looking for is Jesus to come down and split the eastern sky.
Yeah, that's a member of Palestinian Brothers in there, because some of them are getting killed.
Yes, exactly. I had an article laying here about a miracle that happened for the infantry brigade in Gaza a few days ago when they were having to move out and it was light and they were going to be sitting ducks and a cloud came down of a cloud of. What do you call it when a cloud comes down? I can't even say it. But it came down upon them and hit them until they got the job done, and then it dissipated. So God is still protecting Israel. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's still taking care of them.
Isn't it beautiful to watch it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It really. I love you, my friend. I love you, my friend. You are wonderful. I'm so glad you gave me a call. Hey, friends, this has been one exciting program, and I know my time's up. I haven't told you how much I need you to help me financially. Been a tight summer. Really has. Made the payment on this beautiful building this week, $3,800, and it left me $400 in the bank, and I didn't get paid this week. But that's okay. I can do without it as long as I'm doing the Lord's work. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I told you what I told you today about the battles I've fought, so you would pray. Earnestly pray. I need 1,000 out there praying. And the people all over this community, I hope they'll wake up. Those who hate me and want to destroy me, I hope they'll wake up. I really do. I'm ready to forgive every one of them. I'm praying for them by name. I'm saying, Lord, please don't lay this to their charge. They don't understand what they're doing. And they really don't. And listen, you are important to me. I want you to grow in the Lord and in the grace of God. I want you to know His fullness, His grace. I want you to love Him. Now, keep calling. The ladies are standing by. Every line has been busy the last while. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. And remember, that's 391-0588. 704. I'll give you a CD of today's program. You'll hear this prophecy. I'll send you a copy of the prophecy. And if you don't believe in prophecy, you better go and read 1 Thessalonians 5:20, where he said, despise not prophesying. Hey, love to have you in church tomorrow. Our school is going to be a great year. If your kids are not enrolled in a Christian school, they ought to be. They really ought to be. I love you. You are dear to me. I said you are dear to me. Nothing I love more than those to whom I minister. You are my friends. You are my brothers and sisters. I love you, and God bless you. God bless you.